creation. And Nezah Briya, the crown of creation. That's who we are. V'kach mazbir ashlo kodesh is divrei midrash rabba. Pelagio shlo kodesh. I don't know how to learn shlo kodesh, but whatever he says, let's see what he says. It says in the midrash, v'noyach motzeh chein, who motzeh? Hakadosh Baruch Hu lo motzeh. What does that mean? It says noach was motzeh chein. He found chein, favor, whatever. He found Hakadosh Baruch Hu lo motzeh. What's pshat? So it says the Shlo Kodesh, Ratzalayim, who motzeh mi Hakadosh Baruch Hu shehayim ma'ire oisoy. He found that Hakadosh Baruch Hu was trying to arouse him. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo motze mimenu ki lo haya lo his eires milamat milamalo. Vashayin ken rabbe minu, shama, ashe alachti lefonov, kleime his eirati koidem lo. Okay, to understand what's being said here. Noach understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was pouring down Shefa from above. But what he didn't understand is that it has to start with him, down at the bottom. There needs to be an Isayres Milamalo, Milamata Milamalo. The enormous Chiddush of Abraham Avinu was that we turn the spiritual world by what we do in the physical world. And then it has our spore down, and then it goes up again, but it has to start here. Noach understood that it starts with Hashem. Noach was Motzachen. He found in Hashem Chen. He found his oiris from Hashem. But Hashem didn't find anything from him. He didn't know that he had to do anything. He didn't realize he was driving the machine. The buttons we push down here, that's what lights up the world. That's what Avraham Avinu discovered. We take the physical world and we elevate it.
That means that the difference between Noach and Avraham is that Noach takes no initiative. That means he makes what he has to
do. He does what he's told to do. He's a good soldier. If you want to use the marshal of today's terms, Noach was a soldier and Avraham was a businessman. Yeah. Or Avraham, we'll see, he's going to use the marshal later. Avraham was the owner of the store and Noach was a guy that worked there. You know, it didn't matter. You sell, you don't sell. You get paid at the end of the month. You do what you're told to do. And he was a very good worker. He was a tzaddik. He did everything he was told to do. He wasn't some slouch. Hashem destroyed the whole world and kept the whole world alive through him. Everyone that's alive today is Yabba Schusnach. He wasn't some slouch. He was a big man. But he didn't understand that he had the keys to the storehouse.
It's not enough.
He had the keys to the storehouse. It's not enough to just do what you're told. We need somebody that's going to take the lower world and elevate it up to the higher world. Because that's what Adam did. Adam took the higher world and crashed it down into this world. Our job is to take the lower world and elevate it back to that world. Look at most of our mitzvahs. Most of the mitzvahs we do with physical, low physical objects. You know what a Sefer Torah is made out of? There's nothing more Kaddish than a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah is Kish Kadoshim. That's Hashem himself. Yeah, and what's it made out of? Dead cow. Dead cow. And not even the usable parts of a dead cow. The thing you make your shoes out of. That's what we make a Sefer Torah out of. Tefillin. Tzitzis, everything we do, matzah, all these things, it's all low physical things, and we elevate them. That's what we're doing. With everything we do. So that's what the Shlo Kodesh is explaining on this midrash. Haflitika pshat, because otherwise the midrash is not exactly what does the midrash mean. But Noach matzah chayin, who matzah kodesh baruch hu lo matzah. Noach found chayin, Hashem didn't find chayin. What's pshat? That's how the Shlo Kodesh learns pshat. Yeah. Kumuz b'liel noach lo'amin l'kila kodesh boch hu yeshu l'kabal minu. Kodesh boch hu needs something from you, kavi yochol. If you look in the Nefesh HaChaim, all of Nefesh HaChaim is based on this yusod, that we turn the wheels at the bottom. What we do down here is what's ma'oira, the higher worlds, up and down. That's tzelem elokim. That's exactly how he understands pshat and tzelem elokim, ayin sham. We tried to learn it here once, the guys didn't want to, so we stopped. So if anybody wants to learn it, we have to find some other time to do it. This actually started with Nefesh HaChaim. Many, many years ago, back in the old building, there was a need for a shiur from 9:30 to 10. That's all the reasons now. And the guys chose to learn Nefesh HaChaim. So we started learning Nefesh HaChaim at 9:30 to 10, and then eventually that's what evolved. That was this chabura. That was 15 years ago. So we started with Nefesh HaChaim, so maybe we look at it again. Okay. כמוז בליל נוח לא אמין כי לקודש ברוך הוא יש מה לקבל ממנו. Noach didn't believe that Hashem has something as business with him, that he's something to give him. What can I give Hashem? He's right, you can't give Hashem anything. In Achinami you can't, but there's a step further you have to go. Hashem didn't find him, Noach, what he was looking for. Abraham Avinu is able to discover and reveal the miracle, that secret of the Bria. Shakorosh Bochu Manyen bi. Hashem's interested in me. I'm important. Yeshli Malateklo, I have something to give Hashem. Once again, you have nothing to give Hashem. It means in the way that Hashem created the world, Hashem needs us to, not once again, doesn't need, but Hashem made the world in such a way that the world's not going to go where it's going to go unless we do what we're supposed to do. In other words, Hashem needs us in order to fill the Bria. That was the way it was put together. And that's why Hashem chose Avram and his descendants after him, because they were the ones that were going to carry on this mission of understanding. It was this imunah that Avram Avinu fought with Mesirus Nefesh against all the world. Kulam Savru Shu Chosedaya. People thought he'd lost his mind, he was meshuggah. Ulam ulo zaz meimunosa, he didn't give up. Oh, Hashem. Kunikra Avram ha'ivri, kolo ilam kulu ma'av ha'echot, vu ma'av ha'rachem. He's called Avram ha'ivri, we all know why, because he stood on one side of the world and everybody else stood on the other side. Imuna zu hu notav hishris bonu. Bonav ha'chorav, that was the imuna that we got born with, that was in our genes. Was instilled in us and it's deeply planted within us. Because I know that you will command your children, that your children will also walk in the ways and they will guard the ways of Hashem. That's who we are. We're the guarders of the ways of Hashem. And that's what we inherited from Avram Avinu and that's what he gave us, and it's literally in our physical genes. The genes change, you must know that. It wasn't just a spiritual change, the goof changed. If you don't believe me, it's a tshuva in the Chasam Sofer, the Purusha tshuva in the Chasam Sofer, the Lachim Kshali, he was asked about whether it's mutter to go to a Goyisha doctor or a Jewish doctor trained in Goyisha medicine. And he said, Bidi Yevid, yes, because it's the closest thing you'll find to a doctor that knows what a Jewish body is. But he says, in Achinami, Lechatchile, you shouldn't have to go to those kind of doctors, but we don't have anybody trained in Jewish medicine today. Therefore, but yeah, but you can go to a somebody who understands what a Jewish body is. Medicine today, the doctors are trained on Goyisha bodies, not Jewish bodies. The Jewish body is not the same as a Goyisha body. And I'll prove it to you. You yourself know what I'm going to say is 100% true. And I'll show you. You know that. Is it true that they've discovered certain gene markers that only Kohanim have?
Yes.
No, sir. How can a coin have a different gene marker to a non-coin if the body's the same? The genes means there's something different in your body. If you have different genes to me, there's something different in your body. If there's something that only Kohanim have, so there must be something that only Jews have.
Maybe we should just turn off the tape for this, because with a South African accent, it doesn't sound good.
We were trained as racists from very young. we have a right to talk. We mastered, actually it was the British we inherited it from, wasn't it? you didn't treat your Indian so well either, but it's a shush, okay. Yeah. Everyone's a racist.
Yeah, alright.
Rav Mordechai Miller has a fascinating shiur that I have to listen to sometimes if you want a bit of Jewish pride. Is Judaism racism? 100%. 100%, but you have to listen to the shiur, explains what he means. Yeah. Okay. Milvad hanachlas etzem imunah lebono. Besides the etzem inheritance of imunah that Avram gave his children, daig Avram vino shalom shekinyan imunah bediberni yekinyan amiti vechazak keyetet shelo yomut. This is a moedika pshat. You have to have a stomach for this pshat. It's a moedika insight. Avraham Avinu didn't just want us to inherit the imunah. He wanted us to inherit the emunah the way he inherited it, with a kinyan gomel. That means to the nisoinus that he went through. Listen to a pshat. The bris brenner besorim b'zman amam and agodol v'anetzgav al kshisus bris netzach. When Avram Avinu v'zor acharav v'bein boira koil olamim, but the bris brenner besorim, which was an awesome moment, where Avram Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu entered into a covenant. V'shashe HaKadosh Baruch Hu eftiach l'Avram Avinu es haftochas habonim. We all know the sugya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises to Avram Avinu, ki mashe yotze mimecha hu yirashecho. Ves haftochas yirushas haaretz. V'yayimer alav ani Hashem asher tzayisra mehu kastim letet lecha es haaretz azoyz l'reshto. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu a few things. Whatever comes out of your loins will inherit you. And that haftocha of the Yerusha Aretz, I'm going to give to you and to your ancestors. And I'm the one that took you out of the flames of Ulkastim to give you this land to inherit, and your children inherit it after you. Good enough for you? Yeah. Or you want an Arab? Hashem says, I'm promising you now that your children will inherit the land that I promised you they're going to get. I'm the one that took you out of the fires of Ulkastim, and I'm giving you the land. Just pay number seven, right? Avraham Avinu turns around and says, B'me Eida Kir Shenon. How do I know that I'm going to inherit it? Yes. Got the problem? Hashem B'kveid Ba'atzma comes to you and tells you, I'm the God that took you out of Ulkastim, and I'm going to give you the land, and your children are going to get the land. Says Avraham Avinu, how do I know? Well, you shoot the guy on the spot. I mean, how do you know? I just told you. Who are you talking to? So what was going on here? I mean, unfortunately, you know this. Everyone discusses it. It's not a new sugya. V'maido. Rashi meva amo lefon of hodiyani be'eza schus yiskaimebo. Rashi, he wasn't asking, how do I know? It means, how do I know you're going to do what you're going to do, Hashem? I'm asking, what schut? How do I know? What schut do we have? Who says it's a schut? You need a schut to inherit the land. Who says we have the schut? Hamile irshena moira l'yerusha l'doiris l'bonav l'vonav. Irshena means it's an inheritance not just to Avram, it means to all his doiris. V'yesh l'avid. V'yaytochen zu keitzen v'minu roi shamamini moira sofik l'gabay of tochen Hashem Yisburak. Hashem said your children will inherit the land. Avram is the rosh ma'aminim and he has doubt. Well, how do I know? So a little shtick of Maharal here. The Maharal says like this. Vaday shelo haya lo kol pikru chas v'chalila b'avtochas Hashem. Avraham Avinu had no doubts about Hashem's avtocha. Hashem takes your kid and go kill him. Hashem takes him and goes and kills him. Yesterday you said he's going to be the future of Klal Yisrael. Good. And today you said kill him. Good. No problems. Hashem says, you do. He had no problems with his imunah. His imunah was fine. Ulam Avraham Avinu shoyv shekinyan eretz Yisrael v'kinyan ha'imunah b'Hashem Yisburach ye kinyan atzmi. Avraham Avinu wasn't satisfied with his kids getting the land as an inheritance, not having done anything for it. He wanted it to be a kinyan atzmi. Where did he learn this from? He learned this from Hashem. Why did Hashem create the world? Why did Hashem create the world? Because you want to give us reward? So give us reward. And the Shama's out there with Hashem and Yudke Vavke, Tachas Kisei HaKovet. Give us the reward. You want to give us? No, you've got to earn it. Otherwise, it's chaser. It's got to be a Kenyan Atzmi. You've got to earn the reward. Hashem understands. That's why Hashem created the world. So Avraham Avinu understood from the fact that Hashem created the world for us, that Hashem wants us to make it for ourselves. You make a Kenyan Atzmi. It's got to be your own Kenyan. That's where the real pleasure is. The pleasure is not when you get it for nothing. You get charity, that's not pleasurable. When you work for something and you earn it and you make it happen, that's where the pleasure is. You climb up Mount Everest, that's an enormous pleasure. You fly there by helicopter, it's nice, it's geschmack, but it's not exactly not gonna like wow you. You did it was very nice. You paid the guy, took you up there, whatever he carried you. You climb up there, wow. I mean, everybody knows that. So Avraham Avinu wanted the kinyan that his children would have in the Munah in Hashem and Eretz Yisrael and everything that goes with it should be a kinyan atzmi. That they'll also toil and battle to achieve it and attain it. Because only if they earned it and worked for it will it be a kinyan netzach. Otherwise you get it for nothing. Yeah? You have today, gone tomorrow. Easy come, easy go. What's the problem? It's got to be a kinyan. A kinyan you have to be koyin, you have to work for. That's why, by the way, we have lukos sheni. If you'd have Luchos Rishon, that's why Hashem said thank you very much to Moshe Rabbeinu when he broke the Luchos. Because Luchos Rishon, everything you learned you would remember. You would never forget your learning. Wouldn't that be amazing? It would be amazing, but you get no reward for remembering your learning because you got it for free. You're a tape recorder. Luchos Sheni, you keep forgetting your learning. Yeshichacha, the Gemara says, Yeshichacha b'Torah. It's inbuilt into Luchos Sheni, the Matzah free Luchos Sheni, that you forget. And you have to go over it again and again. I remember Pinkus used to say, every year he's been paskening for 40 years, 30 years, I don't know. Every Erev Tisha B'Av, people come asking Shalas about whether you can barf in Tisha B'Av, you can't. What happens if Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos? What about, you know, Shvur Shachav or whatever? He says, every year he has to go read, has to go learn it up again because he forgot from last year. Forgot. Why do you forget? Because that's the nature of Torah. You forget. You forget. You have to go over it again. That's why Chazor is so important. Why? Because you have to be Omel and Torah in it. You don't just get it for nothing. Other subjects a person remembers. Yeah. I'm not talking about at our age. Our age, you forget everything. I'm talking about normal people who still remember things. They remember. The guy goes to school, he learns mathematics, he learns this, he learns natural history. He can tell you every war Napoleon ever fought. Now then he starts learning Tanakh. He can't even remember half the king's names after a while. He can tell you every general in Rommel's army, whatever, and he can tell you every battle, how many tanks he had. How many baseball players, averages? I mean, the guy knows everything about everything. That he never forgets. He starts reading Torah, he can't remember the Mishnah from 30 seconds ago. What happened? He became stupid? No, there's an inbuilt shichach in Torah. It says you'll toil and toil and toil so that you'll make it a kinyan atzmi. That's the way the world's put together. That's called phase two. Rak azu ye betuach shekinyan ze yisha imam lenetzach. What's phase one?
No,
it's a good question. If you're talking about phase two, you better know what phase one is. I thought we'd done it the other day, though. That's why. Let's do it again. Yeshichacha b'Torah. No, that's what I'm saying. I wasn't thinking whether to do it or not. I was thinking whether to do it before the marshal or after the marshal. It's been a very interesting marshal here. What's phase one, what's phase two, and what's phase three? Everything in the world, there's nothing that doesn't work according to this pattern. Time works according to this pattern. Everything works according to this pattern. It's made up of three phases for the purpose of this discussion. It's made up of five, it's made up of 10, it's made up of four. You can chop the world into many different pieces. 10, 26, 13, they're many important numbers. But for the purposes of this discussion, there's three things. There's phase one, two, and three. Okay? Phase one is a moment of enormous inspiration where you basically get given a free gift to show you what you're capable of. Phase two is where the inspiration gets taken away and you need to build and work to earn that level of inspiration that you were shown. And phase three is when you achieve it. Everybody has married? Except him. He doesn't know what you're talking about anyway. He doesn't know what you're talking about. Biology 101. It's exactly how a child is put into the world. Child is conceived in a moment of enormous inspiration, the male phase. Yeah? An enormous moment of inspiration with no danger, a moment of extreme pleasure, and then the man steps aside and there's nothing left of him. And then there's 9 hard, difficult, dangerous, dark months where whatever happened at conception needs to be built. Until ultimately what happens? You get the child. What is that child? An exact replica of that moment of inspiration, that code that was passed from male to female, that's exactly what you have, that's exactly what she gives birth to. That's one example. Another one is marriage. Boy meets girl, yeah, and the violins start playing and the lights flash up and it's all wonderful and romantic and it's gewaldig and it's beautiful, yeah? Until 3 days after the Sheva Brochas, let's be kind. Or 3 days into the Sheva Brochas, I don't exactly know what had happened. 6 months after, whatever, at some point, the lights go off. And then he crawls into your office, pale, going, I married the wrong girl. What happened? The lights went out. What did you think? You were going to live happily ever after? You met a girl, you knew her 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, you fell in love, whatever that means. And now you're going to be like that forever? It's not Hollywood, it's the real world. So what do? You get divorced and you try again. No, it's phase two. Now you've got 50, 60 years to work and battle and struggle and grow and develop until eventually you get back to the top of the mountain again. But now you've earned it. You didn't do anything. What did you do to earn that beautiful violin, that Isaac Stern solo? What did you do to earn it? Nothing. You went on 3 dates to the Dan Pool. Where did I go these days? I don't know. The Ingball. Yeah, you spent 3 hours in the Ingball and now sell it? You're done? You're made for the rest of your life? What are you talking about? You got given artificial inspiration and then it gets taken away. Now you have to work for it. You want another example? I can carry it forever, yeah. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sfiras HaOmer. It's a lovely place to see this. What happened just before they crossed the Yam? They reached a level of spiritual godliness that the Nevi'im never attained. It says the lower Shifra by Hayam Shif saw more than Yecheskel. Yecheskel saw Maisa Makova. They saw dargas that were taken to incredibly high dargas. What did they do to deserve that? They were low Bala Vodazora, Elu Va'elu, Oivda Vodazora. They got to Yam Suf. And Hashem was masking. Elu Va'elu, Oivda Vodazora. So what did they do to deserve these high, you know, to be a Novi takes a bit of work. You've got to at least master the Mesillas Yesharim. That's just to get into Novi school. You have to master the Mesillas Yesharim. Now you can start working on being a Novi. So you have to do some work to be a Novi. How did they get to be Novim in 1 minute? They did it. They got taken up and given artificial inspiration. They were shown who they are, what they're capable of. Then what happens? They cross the sea. Now where are they? They're in the desert. Desert means no ruchnis, no water, no Torah. And they've got 49 days to rebuild piece by piece back to when they get to Hasina. What happens when they get to Hasina? They're back to the level they were on before. They cross the sea. That's Pesach, Shlivus, Hoyman, and Shavuos. Phase 1, 2, and 3. So where you see it klape learning, sorry, just 1 second, where you see it in learning is, it's hard to find the exact moments because it's different for a lot of people. In the Baal Teshuva world, usually you get very inspired. You go to a shir or you went for a Shabbos. Sometimes it's the cholent that inspires you. Sometimes it's what he said or what her said, whatever. Something gets you fired up and you get very excited and you get all stored up and whatever and you start learning. You get a yeshiva and you start learning and it's geschmack. Every Gemara, every Rashi, wow, it's a geschmack and it fits, whatever. And then suddenly it's like another Tosfos, another Gemara, another Kasha, another Teretz. And then somebody came to me with Israel yesterday. Somebody came to me yesterday and I smiled at him and said, phase two. Exactly what happened yesterday. I did it to Rav Tetz. When I did it to Rav Tetz, he told me what happened to him and he told Rav Shurkin. That happens to everybody. I don't know what it looks like in the FFB world because I think they go straight into phase two without the phase one and they get kind of stuck there forever. I don't know what happens. I don't know. FFB, you have to tell me what it looks like. I don't know. But that's another example of phase one, two, and three.
What's phase three?
Huh?
What's phase
3? When you've earned it and you've got it. Become totally addicted and you can't stop learning. You just totally, but you've done it yourself. You've built the muscle learning. If you want to see it macrocosmically, more than Pesach even, is that's a phase of Klal Yisrael. There were three phases. The phase of Torah, the phase of Ikvus and Mashiach, the phase of Golus, this dark period, and then the phase of Mashiach itself, Yemos HaMashiach.
How long does that
going to be? 1,000 years. That's Shabbos. That's the 7th millennium. That'll be 1,000 years.
Where did that change?
Where did that phase kick in? By ancient Pesach HaDolah. When Nevuah stopped and Talmud kicked in. Nevuah is where everything was clear and open. He discusses this here. That was Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Rebbe of phase one. Tzadik V'toiv Lo. Rabbi Akiva is the Rebbe of Tzadik Varalo. That's phase two. That's the phase we're in at the moment. This whole sefer is built on this yisur. Where did I get this from? I got this from a Tet, based on many prayers from Moshe Shapiro. And now it's in two books of his. Living Inspired discusses the principle and applies it in many areas. He's come out with a new book now, and I can't remember the name anymore. Some kind of new age name. I saw it lying around. It's a blue thin piece that uses this yesod to answer about 20 kashas, and he mentions there that Ramosha said there's 200 kashas you can answer with this yesod. But everything works like that. You look at the world, you won't see anything that doesn't follow this pattern. Sometimes it's not so obvious, sometimes you need more information, whatever, but that's the essential yesod, and you see it in your life all the time. And it's happening in little pieces as well. It's not just the big thing, you know, like well, I was enjoying my learning, now I'm not, and then suddenly I start learning. happens. It happens in small areas. In some areas, yeah, sometimes the learning, it's you've got to watch it, you've got to look out for it. That's what's going on. That's phase two. And it's only in phase two where you really earn anything. In phase one, what did you do? You got given a gift. Phase three, so baby, mazel tov, the baby was born. It's only in that female phase where we actually go and build the thing. Rebecca once put it like this. He said, if you're living in the coal cellar, you know, you live in the basement building, whatever, you can't afford rent, whatever, so you're living in the coal cellar, and you wake up one morning, you're in the penthouse suite, you know, this big double water bed, and you don't know how you got there, don't think that you're here for long. You're going to be back in the coal cellar pretty quickly. If you know how you got up there, that's fantastic. If you understand exactly how you got to this level, that's great, so then stick around. You're not fun up the estate agent and say, I want to put in a berth. But if you don't know how you got up there, so that's artificial inspiration. You're just being inspired artificially, and you're going to get dumped, so don't get too excited. Remember, Tetz has a Shia thing called Why Don't the Good Times Last? I think that's where he discusses this whole thing. But it's in Living Inspired. It's everywhere. It's a Rabbeinu Tam Lamaisa. Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer Yosha discusses this as well at length. He comes to answer why miracles don't change us. Why don't miracles change us? I saw a video yesterday of an open miracle. Open miracle. I promise you I haven't changed. I'm a bit me spoil, whatever, but in 2 days' time nothing's going to have changed. Anybody saw that Hamas video that they put out? You have to watch it. Hamas put out a video on them blowing up that bus that they blew up. Mm-hmm. The video?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the kasha you had in that video?
How did only one person get to this year? The guy who was standing around.
And the Arab bus driver, yeah. I have a question before that.
How did they even get access to that close to the bus?
No, that doesn't bother. I've got a bigger kasha than all of them. It's when there were 50 soldiers sitting in the bus and they saw that. And they saw the soldiers getting off. Why didn't they pop the bus then? Why did they wait till there was no one on the bus anymore? Yeah, that's not an open miracle. What did? And they put this up on the air in order for people to see how wonderful they are. It's the most ridiculous thing. It's like you're like, why aren't you shooting? Like you said, and not only that, but next to the bus, before the bus, there's four or five army like jeeps or whatever parked there with soldiers milling around, dozens of soldiers milling around. Why don't they take a pot at them? No, the only thing they shot was an empty bus. It wasn't empty, there was an Arab on the bus. That's an open miracle. It changes us, it does anything. We now, you know, so I learned better yesterday. I was like, where? I've never seen anything like that. It was the most like ridiculous thing I've ever seen. You know, like, what? And they don't hide it. They're not embarrassed. I would be deadly embarrassed to show that video to anybody. You idiots. You got a bus with 50 soldiers on it. In your sights, right there. So you wait for them all to get off and for the bus to come around when there's nowhere anywhere near, and then you shoot. And you brag about it. Mama Shaka. Chas v'chalila. You know what the catastrophe was leaving there? And these other jeeps that there was like 20 or 30 soldiers just milling around there. I mean, why don't they take a shot at them? That's it, Lord. The whole thing's law, you man. If you would have taken that video to Rav Moshe Shapiro and showed it to him, you would have said, like, you're trying to prove to me there's a God? What are you trying to do here? What exactly is your point? Rav Tatman told me a story, whatever. Miraculous story over like two generations about something got lost and found. And the whole massive story, whatever, got found in the ruins of a building. Okay, it was like the most ridiculous story. So he went to tell Rav Moshe, and he said, Rav Moshe sat there like deadpan, like totally disinterested. And he was like trying to like explain to him like what the, he thought maybe didn't get it. He said, you're trying to prove to me there's a God? That was as much as he was going to say. Like, of course, what did you think was going to happen? Anyway, but I'm just saying, so, but the lesson here, and that's Rabbeinu Tam comes to answer using phase one, two, and three. The phase one, the miracle, the inspiration you get is only going to change if you actually do the work necessary in phase two. Otherwise, you just stay with broken dreams, shattered inspirations. But you have to take it and do something about it. Then the miracle can get internalized. That's really, if you want to know, and we're showing you where this sort of this is. But it's everywhere. It's everywhere. You're looking at Tetz's new book, it's marvelous, it's dazzling, just how we shifted out of Nevuah into why Chochem's Odif Minavi? Now it comes to answer many, many questions. The Navi, his Avadi is much greater in terms of what he has access to. But he didn't do anything, he just gets given an Avu. It's Hashem, it's not him. What Yishaya Navi wrote was what Hashem told him to write. Sure, he put a bit of his interpretation, he would have had to work to become a Navi. But the Etzim product he produces, he didn't really produce, it's Hashem. The Chochem has nothing. Everything he has, he's built himself. He's worked and struggled and battled and built himself. That's phase two. That's why Chochem Odif Minavi. I mean, that's Bekitz. Anyway, we ought to stop me now, otherwise we'll
finish it. What was the fourth example which you gave? There was conception of baby, there was dating to 50 years later, there was Pesach to Shavuos, and there was
learning.
Learning Torah. The Baal Tshuva gets very inspired and then gets very like...
Yeah, I'm in phase two. Except for this year.
We're all in phase two. Hopefully. No, there's phase ones that happen as well. Yesterday I had a phase one. This video, I watched it 10 times. I couldn't. It's not just. There's going to be a lot of failures in phase two. There's going to be a lot of failures in phase two. That's wired into the system. That's wired into the system. You're going to make lots of mistakes. As dawn ends the night. I told you it's some kind of new age title. As dawn ends the night.
I thought you had the video. Anybody
dance? Really light? My phase one started at Germiston Lake. You got to appreciate that.
Germiston Lake, Jesus.
When it was good to go there.
The bus that they blew up, it wasn't from a rocket that
came up. It was an anti-tank missile. It was one of these shoulder whoop things. You can yell it in the video. It's an anti-tank missile. It was one of these. It seems you hold in your shoulder and you shoot like a mortar.
A rocket,
something like that. Your anti-tank missile, whatever.
And recording.
When I was in the army in South Africa, the enemy never had tanks, so we didn't have anti-tank missiles. We had bows and arrows.
I have a recording of one of the kids that was on the bus.